This morning we are going to turn together to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 12. Now, I hope you have a Bible this morning that you can look at. And thank you for turning with me. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. And let's read verses 1 to 4. First Corinthians chapter number 12. Beginning in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, Lord, we pray that you would lead us into truth. Father, we ask that we would be willing to do what we have just sung. Lord, help us to not only sing the words that we are able to be remolded and be remade, Lord, and to be called into service, Lord, from on high. Lord, help us to be willing to serve you with our lives. Lord, we ask that you would be glorified through the Word of God, and that the Lord Jesus Christ would receive the honor that is due unto his name. We thank you for the precious blood of Calvary, and thank you, Lord, for allowing us to serve you in this life. Teach us now, we pray, according to your will and desire. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to look at verse number 4. The subject presented there is the subject of spiritual gifts. Last week we spoke about knowing the will of God. How is it possible that you and I can know the mind of God and God's will for our lives? And we enjoyed learning some lessons already this morning about serving God. And this morning we're going to look during the main service at the subject of spiritual gifts. Now, how many of you here this morning enjoy receiving gifts? Now, we all do. I know that's an obvious question. We all enjoy receiving gifts. And as parents, isn't it true? We enjoy giving gifts. And sometimes we enjoy the anticipation of giving a gift to our children when they're not allowed to open it yet. How many of your parents enjoy doing that as well? Watching them look at the wrapping and telling them, look, it's not your birthday yet. Some of you perhaps were frugal and purchased some gifts when they were on special, maybe wrapped them up and said, well, this is your birthday present and you can't open it yet because it's not your birthday. Maybe they received it from someone else. And how many of you children understand that it's not easy to wait until it's your birthday to open that present? But when they're allowed to open it, what happens? Well, they run in and they rip off that wrapping, isn't it true? As soon and faster than you could wrap it. And away goes the wrapping and suddenly there's the gift. And you enjoy watching the pleasure on their face and the little smile and grin as they try and work out how to open the box. And the boxes are getting more difficult every year to open. And how they try and work out playing with that toy or reading that book. And, you know, as people, we enjoy getting gifts and we enjoy giving gifts. But here's a question. What if that gift was never unwrapped? Now, it's still valuable, is it not? Is that true? It still has a reward within, would you agree? But would you also agree this morning that until that gift is unwrapped, it is useless? Is that right? It will never fulfill its purpose. It will never be rewarding and a pleasure to that child or to you. Unless a gift is unwrapped, then it cannot be enjoyed. And it's useless. It might as well just sit on a shelf with a fancy wrapping around it and be put away for good if it will never be unwrapped. And this morning we need to understand, when it comes to spiritual gifts, it's not enough just to know about what the Bible says, but you and I as Christians are responsible to unwrap those spiritual gifts. You and I are responsible as Christians to serve the Lord. Do you know what the very last thing was? One of the very last things that the Apostle Paul, who was going to die soon and was writing to the young preacher, Pastor Timothy, do you know what he challenged him about? He said to Timothy, look, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, the course. I have kept the faith. And he said, now, Timothy, you need to neglect not the gift that is in you. Paul said, look, I've used the spiritual gifts that God has given me. I am nothing great in and of myself, but I know that there is a crown and a reward waiting for me because I've used that gift for God. It's been unwrapped in my life, if you will. And he challenged Timothy as a young man. He said, Timothy, don't forget, you've got spiritual gifts too. And that's what the Apostle Paul was also saying in verse number 12, in a sense. He was saying now, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Would you agree that God doesn't want us to walk through the Christian life ignorant, in the dark, about this subject of spiritual gifts? In fact, more so, he wants us to know and embrace the gifts that he's given you and I as Christians. You see, the moment that you repented of your sins and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible said that you were instantly born of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God came to dwell within you, regenerated you from within, and you became a new creature in Jesus Christ because of His precious blood shed on Calvary for your sins and mine. But with the presence of the Spirit of God within comes, as verse 4 says, a diversity of gifts. Did you know at the moment of your salvation you received at least one, if not more, gifts that God has given you in order to serve Him? Friends, if you and I are going to live out the will of God, we need to not be ignorant to what those gifts are. If I were to ask you this morning as a Christian, do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Would you be able to write them down? Do you know what they are? Well, if you don't, let me encourage you. I hope this message this morning will help you not only to discover your gifts, not only to develop them, but also to determine to use them where God wants you to use them. Friends, we have been called to serve the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, wherefore let us serve the Lord acceptably and with godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Friends, God is a holy God. He has saved us with His holy blood and He has called us to a holy calling. And we need to neglect not the gift that is in us. Friends, what gift did God give to you? What is His will for your life? Well, it has everything to do with discovering, developing, and determining to use that gift. Now, before we go on, I just want to share with you a little illustration I shared with the adults this morning. If you were in Sunday school this morning, you heard this little story, this little illustration, and it's about the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. Now, if you've ever looked at the map of the nation of Israel, you know that the Sea of Galilee is in the north, is that right? And out of the Sea of Galilee flows the River Jordan, and it meets another sea, which is called the Dead Sea. Now, there is a huge difference between the two lakes, would you agree? One is alive, and the other one is literally dead. Now, when the Lord called the first disciples who were fishermen, did He go to the Dead Sea to try and find fishermen there? No. Why not? Because there's no fish in the Dead Sea. The salt content is so high, as some of you already know, that you can literally float on the top of the water. Nothing grows in the water. Nothing lives in the water. Why? Because unlike the Sea of Galilee, fresh water comes in, but nothing flows out. It has no outlet. It has no river flowing out of it. It is stagnant. It is dead. It is lifeless. But the Sea of Galilee is fresh, it's full of life, it's full of vitality. Why? Because it has fresh water coming in and it has fresh water going out into the River Jordan. Does that make sense? And so here we have a great contrast between what we could call the Sea of Galilee Christian and the Dead Sea Christian. The Sea of Galilee Christian not only receives the Word of God, but also has an outlet, is also serving God. You see, we've been called to serve. We have not, Christian, been called to sit. Amen? I know you're sitting right now. Don't worry, I'm not judging you. God wants you to sit. I hope you stay put for at least a little while. God hasn't called us in the Christian life to sit still. If we sit still, what do we become? Well, you and I become like the Dead Sea. We might have lots of coming in through the preaching, the teaching, the reading of the Word of God in our daily lives, even God's chastening and the trials. But if you and I don't have an outlet, we will not be a fresh, joyful Christian that enjoys the blessing of the Christian life. And thank God we can enjoy the perfect will of God. Thank God we can enjoy the blessing of serving Him. But in order for us to be a Sea of Galilee Christian, we need to know what our spiritual gifts are. How on earth would you and I be able to serve God if we don't even know what gifts God has given us? So this morning we are going to look at serving the Lord with our spiritual gifts. Serving the Lord with our spiritual gifts. Now, first of all, in order to serve God, we need to discover the gifts God has given us. Would you agree? We need to discover them according to His will. Notice verse number 4 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit of God has given a diversity of gifts. There are many gifts. There are numerous gifts. Now as we begin, don't get distracted, because this is important. The spiritual gifts detailed in the Bible fall into two clear categories. There are those gifts that have passed away, that are no longer available today. Then there are those gifts that are present today. There are those that are past, and then there are those that are present. Now, very quickly, the gifts that are no longer available, that have passed away, are what we call the sign gifts in the Bible. Maybe you've read the book of Acts and you've seen people who are instantly healed, and you read about speaking in tongues, and you read about prophets having visions and speaking forth the Word of God verbally as God gave it to them directly. These are what we call sign gifts that have passed away and that they are no longer available. Why? Because these special sign gifts were given for a specific reason during the early part of the Christian church. There was a reason for them. And we can't go into detail right now about those sign gifts, but if you'd like to know more, please come and see us. Brother Huey has put together a wonderful series of messages on the gift of tongues. And yes, it was a godly gift. It was a gift from God, but it was only for a limited time. Someone tries to convince you that the gift of tongues is available today. Well, they've just made up something else. They're speaking nonsense and they're being convinced that that gift is still available. But in fact, the Bible tells us that the gift of tongues were known languages. They were real languages. And they were for a specific purpose that is no longer needed today because we have the completed Word of God. Let me quickly show you 1 Corinthians 13 while you're there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Notice verse number 8. The Bible says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, that means God giving direct revelation to people, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall, what's the next word? Cease. You see, there is a point in time where this gift would cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. You see, these sign gifts were temporary. They were never meant to last to our day. They were only for a specific reason. To do what? To stand in the place of that which is perfect in verse 10. What is that which is perfect? Well, that which is perfect is not the Lord Jesus Christ. The word that is, has no gender attached to that. It is an object and not a person. It is a neuter gender. There is no person spoken of here. It is not Christ. It is that which is perfect is come. What is perfect? The Bible tells us that the Word of God is perfect, sealed in heaven until forever, for all eternity. And we have the perfect Word of God today, so we don't need someone to receive direct revelation from the Lord in prophecies and in knowledge, because we have it in our very hands. You see, those gifts have no use today because we have the Word of God. Same with the gift of tongues, same with all the other sign gifts. They were there for a specific purpose. But the exciting reality is that there are many gifts for today that God has given to the Christian to fulfill the will of God for our lives. There are the passing gifts, and then there are the present day gifts. Now let me warn you, there are false teachers in the world today that want to convince you that these sign gifts still exist. And if you don't have these gifts evident in your life, then you are not a real Christian. Let me warn you, many are trusting today in a so-called tongue they speak, or in a so-called miracle they perform, for the evidence of their salvation. Why? Because they've never trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior alone by faith. Friends, it's only Jesus Christ that can save. It is only through faith in His shed blood that we can receive the gift of eternal life. And by the way, as I've often said, if someone can heal a person today and they come to a church and they have a big conference and someone invites you to come, maybe ask that person the question, why isn't that faith healer in the hospital where he should be, where people are sick? Why is he in church where he can deceive the gullible? If there's a faith healer, my friends, we need to get him to Cairns Base as soon as possible. Amen. If he can touch people and heal people instantly, well, why isn't he in the hospital where there are sick people, suffering, ill? And if he can just lay his hands on them and they'll be healed, why isn't he there? Why is he in the church if he can heal people with a touch? Well, because he's a fake, because he's preying on the vulnerable, where he's preying on the deceived, taking advantage of those who have been lied to in that church. Friends, these sign gifts have passed. We know that. Don't be deceived. Friends, if you have so-called Christian friends that are trying to lure you into their church or into their Bible study or giving you materials that are leading you into error, beware. Beware. These gifts have passed. And it's an insult to God to say they are still present. Why? Because they take us away from what God has told us to do. God's will for us. They'll take us away, at the least, from what He has called us to do as Christians and consume us in error. Friends, we need to discover what our spiritual gifts are. Well, there are the passing gifts, and then there are the present day gifts. Now, the passing gifts were for the beginning of the church. The present day gifts are for the building of the church of Jesus Christ. Therefore, God's church today. And at the moment of your salvation, you received at least one, if not more, gifts from God. The question is, have you unwrapped them? Have they been unwrapped in your life? Have you discovered what they are? Remember, a gift is useless unless it is revealed, unless it's discovered. If it just sits on the shelf, you and I will become stagnant and stale and unusable by God. What are these spiritual gifts? Well, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12. One book back. Are you still with me this morning?
Yep.
Romans chapter 12. And let's go through some of these obvious spiritual gifts. And perhaps the Lord will reveal something to you just this morning through the Word of God. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. The Bible says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now here is a summary of some of the main spiritual gifts. And this little section in the Word of God outlines perhaps one or more spiritual gifts that God has given to you. Well, let's quickly start at the top. Notice verse number 6. The Bible says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. You see, the gift that God has given you was His choice. It wasn't ours. It was a gift from above. Would you agree? That's what a gift is. If you earned it, it would no longer be a gift. It would be a reward. When you get a reward, it's because you've done something good to earn it. And you're given a reward for a reward of service. But a gift is given, as you can see, by grace. According to the grace of God. And that is God's grace, my friends. That He would not only save a wretched sinner like you and I, but He would fill us with His presence. And He would equip us for service. And not only can we have the joy of a home in heaven, but we can live out a heavenly purpose on this life until we see His face. What an exciting promise of God. But you and I are responsible to find out what those gifts are. Well, what are some of these gifts? Well, I'm glad you asked. Notice verse number 6. The Bible says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. First gift we see here is the gift of prophecy, or what we would call the gift of preaching. Now, the sign gift of prophecy was someone receiving direct revelation from God. They received the Word of God directly, and then they spoke and preached the Word of God. Now that sign gift has disappeared. It has ended. It has ceased. And now the gift of preaching is the declaration of the Word of God as God has given us in the Bible. That's what the gift of preaching is. To declare, to tell forth what God has already said. Now is that clear? God doesn't give us direct revelation because the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that God's Word is complete. It is finished. Don't take away from it. Don't add to it. Just declare it, as He said to the Apostle John. And this is a spiritual gift. And so when the Apostle Paul spoke to Timothy to encourage him as a young pastor, as a young man in the ministry, he said, look, Timothy, don't miss the point. You are responsible for this gift. You don't have the right to do what you want with your life. God has equipped you to serve. You need to neglect not the gift that is in thee. If you let that gift sit on the shelf, you will be ashamed at the coming of Jesus Christ. He said, as for me, I've run the race. I've done what God wanted me to do. Maybe God has given you, men, the gift of preaching, the gift of prophecy. Friends, that is not just a gift given to the pastor of the church. That is a gift given to Christians to declare the Word of God, to tell forth. Pastors, of course, should have this gift. Evangelists should have this gift. But there are other men, even young men, when they're saved, that are given the gift of preaching. You may not know that you have that gift, but maybe that's what God has given to you. Maybe there's a stirring, passionate desire in your heart to tell more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you have a desire to declare the Word of God. Maybe God has already put a burning flame within your heart. But friends, if that's where it stays, you will never live out the will of God for your life. Unless you unwrap that spiritual gift, which we'll talk about in a moment, unless you develop it, it will not lead you into the will of God. Perhaps God has given you a gift, man, that you've not yet discovered, the gift of preaching. Well, what's next? Notice in Romans chapter 12 and verse 7. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Well, the word ministry is not what the politicians in Canberra think the word means. They call themselves ministers, but it would be good for them to remember that the word minister means to serve. That's what the word means. And if only our politicians would understand that. Amen? If only they would know that they've been called to be servants. Now, the gift of serving is, in fact, a spiritual gift. And you might say, Pastor, well, I thought you said we're all called to serve. Yes, we are. But the gift of ministry is a special spiritual gift. It is translated as support. It is a gift of helps. What is that gift? Well, it's someone that's been given the spiritual gift of ministry to help lift the load of someone else. Picture someone with a heavy load on their back, carrying a backpack, and that gift of ministering that another has would help them to come along and say, hey, let me help you to carry that load. Let me take some of that load and put it onto myself, and let me serve the Lord with you. Friends, that is a spiritual gift. The gift of ministering. The gift of service. It's someone who has a passion to do what needs to be done, even when it's behind the scenes, even when no one ever knows, even when only the Lord knows how they have served. They are fulfilled and rewarded, and they love serving, and they love getting involved in the church, and they love moving forward in the vision and the plan of the church, and to make that come to a reality. That's someone with a spiritual gift of serving, of ministry. Maybe you're here this morning and God has given you that gift. Maybe within you there's a desire to serve, but it's not yet been unwrapped. Maybe God is allowing you to be a little bit uncomfortable and unsatisfied in your Christian life, just to lead you into finding out that God has called you to serve. You see, He doesn't let us to stay comfortable. He doesn't let us stay satisfied when we are not using our spiritual gifts. Maybe God has given you the gift of ministry. Have a look in verse number 7. Let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Here we have the gift of teaching. Now that's pretty self-explanatory. Someone who can teach is someone, as a Christian, who is able to take the word of God and explain it and make it clear and apply it to the listeners. Friends, that is a spiritual gift. So what does that mean? That means that when someone is a teacher of the word of God, they're a teacher because that's what God has called them to be. They're not better than you and I. It's according to the grace of God. They didn't even ask for that gift. But if God has given them that gift, praise God, that's what God has called them to do. And friend, maybe God has called you to be a teacher. The Bible says that the ladies are to, the older ladies are to teach the younger ladies. And the Bible says that the ladies are to teach the children. And the Bible says that the men are to also be teachers that have been given the gift of teaching. Someone who has the gift of teaching loves to dig into the Word of God and to bring it out and to make it understood. Friends, that's a spiritual gift. And maybe you have a desire to do that. Friends, I can't tell you what your spiritual gift is, but God knows. And perhaps you have not yet discovered it, and it's waiting, still waiting, to be unwrapped. And the exciting part is finding out what it is, and then enjoying the gift that God has given. Friends, teachers are needed in the church. Ministers and servants are needed in the church. Preachers are needed in the church. And I dare say we need to understand that God has equipped every local church with every member that needs to be involved in order for God to bless that church. But friend, if we're not using that spiritual gift, then there is a hole. There is a gap. You need to stir up the gift that is in you, Timothy. Regardless of your personality, regardless of how you feel, God has a plan for your life. And that's exciting, isn't it? And God can go beyond our fears and our frailties, our weaknesses, even our personality, and to change us and to help us to become what He wants us to be, the gift of teaching. All right, let's quickly go on. Notice verse number 8. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. How many of you are here this morning that enjoy being encouraged by someone else? How many of you have ever been down and you've been in the pit of despair, you've been encouraged, and someone comes up alongside and encourages you and lifts you up and reminds you of Bible truths and tells you some things in the Bible to hold on to and to help you and give you hope? Friends, you know, encouragement is like peanut butter, someone once said. The more you spread it around, the more things stick together. Amen? Encouragement is needful. Now, we all should encourage each other. Is that right? Absolutely. But the gift of exhortation is the gift of encouragement. It's a spiritual gift. It's a gift that God has given some of you to encourage someone who needs lifting up, who needs hope, who needs comfort. And don't we all need comfort and hope in the Lord? And God has put Christians in the church to come alongside and lift others up with their words and by their example. And you see, in the church, that's a necessary gift. All of these gifts are so vital in order for the health of the body. You see, the church is likened to a body with many parts. And if one part isn't doing what it's meant to be doing, that body is disabled. It's lacking. It cannot grow. It cannot move as it's meant to do. That's why it's so important for you and I, would you agree, to discover that spiritual gift, to unwrap it, to be willing to step out by faith and even ask the Lord, Lord, what is your will for my life? More specifically, Lord, what spiritual gift have you given me? There's at least one. Christian, which one is it? Can you pinpoint any this morning? Well, this is exciting. The gift of encouragement. Notice the next one in verse 8. The gift of giving. The gift of giving. Is that really a spiritual gift? Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 8. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Now understand, the word give doesn't just mean giving your tithe. The Bible tells us that we are all to give a portion of that which God has given to us. Why? For the purpose of God in the local church, and then as we give, we are giving to the Lord. But the word give here doesn't mean just giving, it means super giving. It means extraordinary giving. You see, God has given a gift to some to give beyond the norm, beyond the expected, to give that which is over and above the normal. That is a gift from God, a gift of giving, the gift of giving above and beyond, a generosity that goes beyond feeling and beyond self and gives to those in need and the work of God. The Bible says, let him do it with simplicity. That means to do it without hesitation, without holding back. Perhaps God has given you the gift of giving. And I'm not just talking about money this morning. It might be just a need that needs to be met, and God lays it on your heart, and you said, look, the Lord has just laid on my heart to give something above and beyond normally that I would want to do. And then you give, and God meets the need of that person and helps them and lifts them up. Friends, that is a spiritual gift. Now, we're all to give. But some of you have been called of God to be super givers. That is a gift. And we need to neglect not the gift that is in us. Because as you give to the need God leads you to give to, you will be fulfilled in your Christian life. You will be rejoicing in your heart at the blessings that will return. You will be fulfilled and satisfied as you exercise that spiritual gift. Now, does that make sense? How many of you have experienced, like me, that stinginess never pays? Yeah, you might be able to keep your money or not give that gift, but you might have it in your hand and then suddenly you realize, wow, how come when I keep it, I'm unsatisfied? How come when I give, it's rewarding? Well, you see, that's how God works. As we give, we are blessed. As we put out, as we serve, as we live our lives a living sacrifice, we are blessed. We are like the Sea of Galilee that not only has truth coming in, but has service going out. See, if you and I are not using our spiritual gifts, we are like the Dead Sea. We might have lots coming in, but if nothing is going out, we are stagnant. Friend, that might be the reason you are stagnant this morning. You don't need to stay that way. Amen? You can give out. You can use your spiritual gifts. Notice the next gift in Romans 12 and verse 8. Are you still with me this morning? All right, let's look at a few more. Romans chapter 12 and verse 8. He that ruleth with diligence. The word rule means to lead, to manage, to take charge of. This is also called the gift of administration, the gift of leading, the gift of organizing. You see, there are some of you here this morning that have a spiritual gift to organize, to plan, and to make things happen in the work of God. Amen? That's a spiritual gift. So when there's a event or when there's a need in the church, those of you with the spiritual gifts of administration are so needed at that time. Why? God has given you that gift for the purpose of the health of the local church. And if you're not using that gift, well, maybe something will be missing. Maybe something will be lacking. Maybe the pastor will go prematurely gray in his head, in his hair, because he's trying to do it all himself and he may not have all the spiritual gifts. Actually, he doesn't. Friend, if you're not engaging your spiritual gift in the church, then the body that is engaged will have added pressure and load added to it and won't be able to function as it should and one day will wear down. The exciting thing is a church that's alive, a church full of Christians that are using and have already discovered their spiritual gift is a church that is on the move, amen, that is blessed of God. It's so vital that we know our spiritual gifts. Maybe you have the gift of administration, of organizing, bringing order to projects. Not chaos. Some of us bring chaos. Amen? Some of us bring chaos. Some of us bring order. God wants us, if we have this gift, to lead, to use this gift to finish the job and get it done. The gift of administration. Lastly, notice Romans chapter 12 and verse 8. The Bible says, "He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." You know, there are some Christians that are just able to sympathize beyond what others are able to in their own strength. A level of compassion that is supernatural. Now, we are all to be merciful. Is that right?
That's right.
None of these gifts, if we do not have them, exclude us from preaching the gospel or teaching our children the word of God or giving in the church or being merciful. But some of us have a supernatural gift described as mercy that God has given you to lift up someone in need. It goes beyond exhortation. It goes beyond that. It goes into this area of deep sympathy that no one else can possibly understand. And you're able to reach down into their very heart and bring them alongside and cry with them if need be. And love them beyond what another Christian might be able to do because you, my friend, have been given that gift of mercy. And what a special gift. What a needed gift. Don't we all have hurts in our lives? And don't we all need someone not only to rebuke us, but someone to be merciful and understand what we're going through and come to us with a heart of help? Friend, God has given us at least one or more spiritual gifts. And we've just quickly skirted over the top of them. The question is this: have you discovered your gift? You might have one, you might have more. Have you discovered what that gift is? Well, how can we do that? Well, we do that through the Word of God. Is that right? We do that through the Word of God. We discover our spiritual gifts through His Word. And we discover them in the church. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, notice verse number 14. Back where we started, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've discovered them in the Word of God. And notice we develop them in the church. We develop them in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And friends, here is the picture of the local New Testament church. God saves souls. They are baptized, they are added to the local church, and they are body parts in the organism or the organization that we call the New Testament church. And God gives each born-again Christian a spiritual gift to be discovered where?
In the church.
In the church. Don't miss it. Your gifts might be discovered in the world. Your boss might see that you have the gift of mercy, so when he calls you up on the Sunday to come into work, well, you're the first one that volunteers. Why? Because he's taking advantage of your spiritual gift. He might even see it in you before you do. But the world won't help you develop it. The world will take advantage of you, Christian. Even in the gift of giving, how many Christians give to charitable organizations that have nothing to do with God and in fact are thieves? When we have missionaries that need support, that are doing the work of God, and the giving is lacking. That's just a side note. The world will take advantage of your spiritual gifts. But as a Christian, how can you fully develop your gifts? Well, you develop them in the place that God has designed them to flow out. That's within the local New Testament church. Friend, don't miss it. If you're not engaged in this church, how can you possibly be in the will of God? If you are not a member of a local church somewhere, serving God with your spiritual gifts, how can we possibly say we're doing His will? Friends, this is serious business. The Bible says, let us serve God acceptably, with godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. God is not mocked. We are given His gracious gifts. But are we using them? We need to unwrap them, don't we? Maybe you've discovered something this morning. Maybe you need to ask the Lord, well, then let's develop that gift. How do we develop the gift? Well, notice in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. What does the Bible say? The book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Notice the Bible says, as every man hath received the gift, even so, what are the next words? Minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see, as Christians, we are stewards of our spiritual gifts. What is a steward? Well, a steward is a servant. He has a master, and the master has given that servant his wealth, his riches, not to own, but to use according to the master's desire and purpose. Is that right? A steward is not the master, the master is not the steward. The steward is to look after and develop and even increase what the master entrusts him with. And that is you and I as a Christian. We've been given spiritual gifts. We need to be very careful not to neglect them, to ignore them, to be ignorant to them concerning spiritual gifts, or else we will miss out on the blessing and the plan of God for our Christian life. I dare say this is one subject that is sorely neglected among the heart and desire of God's people. What is that? The question is, what am I here to do? Lord, why have you left me on earth? How many of you realize the moment you got saved, he didn't take you up to be with him in heaven? He could have. You're his. You're purchased. You're cleansed. You're righteous in Jesus Christ. There's nothing between you and God any longer. Why would he not take you away? I remember as a new Christian asking that question. Doesn't make sense. Why can't I just go home now, Lord? Why do I have to still go back to my job? I want to go. I want to go home. I want to see my Lord. Why did I have to go back to my job? Because the Lord said, now it's time for me to change you. I've got a calling upon you, Christian. I want you to serve me with your life. I want to use you to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have given you spiritual gifts to live out my will for you. But brethren, we need to know what they are. Have you discovered them? And are you developing them? Where do we develop them? Say it again. In the
church.
I'm not trying to build a mega church as a pastor. No, my heart's desire is that every born-again Christian in this room will stand unashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. And the Lord Jesus himself will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In other words, a steward. A steward that has used their spiritual gifts for God. That's every pastor's burden. Look, Pastor Dan's goal is not to build up a mega church. No, he loves you and he wants you to grow. As a pastor, I love you and I want to see you grow. But the only way you can do that is to embrace the spiritual gift. Discover it and then develop it. Friends, this church is a church of 9 years old. It's still a young church. And there are many opportunities for service, and you can say amen, in this local church. Friends, we have need of more ushers. Men, if you're willing to put on a tie, if you are a member of Coastline Baptist Church, I'd love to ask you to be involved in our ushering ministry. To stand at the door. To be a greeter. The Bible tells us that there's nothing greater than being a doorkeeper in the house of God. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 84. Friends, that's a divine privilege. I remember when I first stood at the door in the church there where I was saved and I was a new Christian, and I just loved greeting people, meeting visitors, shaking their hands. Who knows, the visitor that I just shook their hands might be someone who would just get saved in a few days' time or in a week time. Maybe I can be an encouragement to them. Maybe I can witness to them. I was the one who got to meet them first. That's exciting. That's a divine privilege. Friends, we need more ushers. What about song leaders? I don't have the gift of music, but I want to serve the Lord. Song leading. Men, some of you need to step up and serve. Beyond your fear, beyond your personality. Why? Because God has given you the gift of service. Amen? The gift of ministry. Now, coming to set up church doesn't require a gift. It just requires someone with a willing heart. But there's a place to serve, amen? Now, we're not inviting the women to come because I believe the men ought to be here. And if the men don't come, woe be to Coastline Baptist Church. Now, we've started a roster of men. We have at least 5 that are willing to come on a rotating roster to come set up the church on a Saturday afternoon at 3:30. But what about the others? Young men, you are welcome too. You see, you can exercise your spiritual gift. You can start to use the gifts, but how do you develop them? You discover them in church. You discover them by serving. You discover them by filling a need and just being willing to serve. What about the music ministry? We've already spoken about song leading. Some of you might be able to play an instrument. God has given you the gift of serving. You might say, well, I can't play perfectly. Well, who can? Amen? We don't have the Cindy Symphony Orchestra. I didn't mean to say that. We had the Cindy Symphony Orchestra for a while, and now we have a wonderful orchestra. A couple of other young ladies that are willing to just step out by faith and serve. I'm thankful for their example. Why? They're just willing to serve, willing to make mistakes, but above all, willing to serve God. What about you? You might be able to play an instrument for God and be a part of the worship service. Friends, in the Bible, that was a privileged position. Not everyone could be involved in the worship service and the music of God. Why? Because God cares about godly music. And God requires those who participate to be those who love the Lord, those who desire to serve Him with their lives, those who are willing to be a blessing. You know, the Sunday school ministry is growing. Some of our teachers need assistance, helpers, with the gift of teaching that needs to be exercised and to be developed within that ministry. Sunday school teachers, would you agree that there is room for more? Amen. Amen. There's plenty of room for more, but the church will always be lacking if you've never unwrapped your spiritual gift. The blessings will be left wrapped up. The joy will be left wrapped up. And the church will lack. What about the Sunday school materials? You know, every term, these materials need to be ordered. Now, that needs to be passed on. We've been doing it now for 3.5 years. But we don't need to do it. Got our head around it finally, I think, and worked it out. But those materials now need to be passed on. That's a serving role for someone else. To enjoy someone maybe with the gift of administration that can go online and order and plan out the lessons and see where we are at in the term. And it's a rotating series of lessons. Someone with that spiritual gift to organize and to delegate. God has given you, some of you, that gift. Well, there's a need. There's an area of service. My point is, there are plenty of areas to serve. There are plenty of areas in this local church. What about youth group? What about the audio ministry? What about the bulletin being printed and developed? What about the website ministry? And so on, and so on, and so on. And that's just scratching the surface. Spiritual gifts are used in the church. And friend, unless you are a part of a local Bible-believing church, those gifts will never engage. Lock in and make a difference. That'll never happen. Friends, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can use our spiritual gift. As we draw to an end, you know, God desires us to enjoy the fullness of His blessings. Amen? But He does leave the choice up to us. If we are engaged, then we can experience the joy of serving God together. If we are a part of the church and moving forward with the church and ready to do what God wants us to do, friends, my, that's an exciting church to be a part of. That's an exciting church because it's going forward. And when someone lost comes into that church, there's no such thing as someone not saying hello to them. There's no such thing as someone not being prepared to set up or pack up. That lost person, they see a oneness and a unity of spirit. They see a joy in the church. They see a church that loves the Lord. And that's the kind of church that God blesses, amen? God doesn't bless a Dead Sea dropout church that's festering, that's stagnant, that's going nowhere. He doesn't bless that kind of church. He blesses the Sea of Galilee church that has truth coming in and service going out for the glory of God. Friends, that is His will for our lives. Can't get around it. No matter where you go, the only way you can get around it is through false teaching. And that might be the reason why you're not involved in this church right now. Because someone's whispering in your ear, perhaps, and seeking to lead you away from what the Word of God clearly says. Friends, we need to unwrap our spiritual gift, to discover them in the Word of God, to develop them by serving in the church, and lastly, to determine to use them. Romans chapter 14, as we close, we need to determine to make a decision to use the gifts that are in us. Romans chapter 14, verse number 10. Notice the second half of the verse. For we shall, what's the next word? All stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 12, so then every one of us shall give, what's the next word? Account. See, a steward one day will need to give an account. The master will call that steward home, and the master will say to that steward, so, what has happened with what I gave you? The resources, the funds, have you multiplied them? Have they developed? Have they led to anything good? And that steward, Lord willing, will say, yes, they've multiplied. They've developed. They've led to doing your will. That's God's plan at the judgment seat of Christ. He wants to reward us. But each and every single one of us this morning who have received Christ Jesus as our Savior will have to give an account of what we have done with our lives. More specifically, with what we have done with the spiritual gifts that are in us. Friends, this is a wonderful subject, but I hope you can see it's a serious one. One day we will stand before the Lord. Now, He's not going to examine your sins. Those sins were judged, punished, and paid for at the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? Our sins are clean gone forever. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. But what hasn't been yet revealed is what we have done with our lives. Now, you can walk out of here the same way you came in, but not all of you are going to do that. Not all of you are going to walk out the same way you came in. Some of you are going to make a decision this morning. Some of you have been sitting here and God is stirring your heart and you have a desire to discover that gift. Let me encourage you to make a determination, a determined decision to say, whatever it takes, I'm going to surrender to the will of God and I want to live out God's plan for my life. I hope that's you this morning. Young people, if you are saved, the world wants your spiritual gifts. They want you in their companies. They want you in their businesses. Why? Because there's nothing more valuable than a Christian with a supernatural spiritual gift of administration. And if that's the job for you in the will of God, praise God, that's where you need to be. But if you are not where God wants you to be, you will be swallowed up by the world. And your gift will be ineffective and will be unrewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Friends, as a Christian, you've got a spiritual gift. How are you developing it? Have you even discovered it? Have you made a determined decision to live for the Lord? Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Church in Corinth, concerning spiritual gifts, be not ignorant. Ignorant. Vital to our Christian lives, especially to the will of God. Let's pray.